Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, amen?
Amen.
Whew. I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, it is hot up here. I'm from Canada, so I'm not used to this. And when I got here this morning, the pastor and I were walking around, and he said something that I completely did not understand. He said, well, it's hot and it's humid, but it's a dry humidity. I was like, okay. Because I don't know what that is. But anyways, let me take a moment and introduce myself the way that that our people do it, Native American people. I am the grandson of Tate Wakana and Moni Wee. I am the son of Wes and Melvina, and my name is Will. To greet you in any other form would be not right to my ancestors, and it would be not right to you. And first and foremost, I want to thank you for receiving us so wonderfully today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And the message of my sermon today is Fry Bread from Heaven, and my wife stole that and used it for the children's message. Upon my encouragement, of course. But really, what I want to talk to you about today is the Gospel of John. And as we read it, you know, the Gospel of John, it's very different from any of the other three Gospels, because in John you never really know what's what. Water is not really water. Wind is more than wind. A door is more than wooden hinges. And bread is not only bread, it is life. Patricia and I were talking on the way over today, as we made our way here today, and we were amazed and we were really at wonder at all the streets. They're named after our people. Cherokee. Seneca. Then there's one threw me off a bit, Miami. I wish I was from Miami tribe. But see, one of the things that I want to talk to you about today is Jesus' bread of life. And we all know that we're talking about far more than dough and bread and salt. We're talking about the very bread of life, which Jesus is. I don't know about any of you all, but I cannot exist without Jesus. I guess I shouldn't say that. We can exist, but God has not put us onto this world to just exist. He's called us to excellence. He's called us to be our very best. And so, my wife talked about bannock. See, our people, obviously, we like to eat. We like that bread of life. We like bannock. And my people, the Sioux people, we have this other delicacy. I don't know if you've ever had it before. It's called fry bread. Now, how you make fry bread, I assume, is similar to how you make donuts. And aren't donuts good? We all love donuts. Well, I got to tell you, I grew up on the reservation, and we only got donuts as a special treat because it was out of our financial range. But my grandmother, Moni Wee, who I'm speaking of, always knew, would make us fry bread, and she would make it. I can remember the anticipation. She'd be cooking it. I could hear the pan. You know, the grease getting hot, and then she'd prepare it, and then she'd drop it in and flip it over. And I can remember, my mouth is watering right now. And see, what we had were, my grandma called them, they're Indian donuts, because as soon as it came out of the pan, when it's nice and hot, she'd dip it in sugar on both sides. Oh, man, you think your donuts are good. And what I say that to remind you that what Jesus is telling us today is that the Gospel of John talk that means more words than what you suppose. Today's reading from John is a great example of what I mean. Jesus is talking about bread. Now, I got to share some other things with you. The first of the great I am sayings of Jesus, John's Gospel is full of them. Here's some of them. I'm going to give you five of them. I am the light of the world. I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And the last one I want to give you is, I am the true vine. Now, if we are going to exist, we have to have roots, do we not? Kansas is surrounded, and there's so many beautiful trees in Kansas. How do they survive the storms? How do they survive the tornadoes? Because they are rooted. Their roots run deep. They say, and I'm not a treeologist, or whatever the tree people are, I'm sorry, I don't know the word. I'm not a treeologist, but they tell me, because in front of our home, Patricia and I have this giant pin oak tree. And I mean, it's a giant. If that thing ever fell over, our house is gone. But they tell me that everything that we see above ground, there's that much and more in the roots. That's how the tree stays grounded in the wind. That's how the tree doesn't topple over with every rainstorm. Because we're rooted with God in the true vine. That's how we survive our trials. That's how we survive our temptations. We depend deeply on our roots. We're attached to the true vine. Now, I got to tell you another quick funny story. Because I guess Native Americans do things different than you all do. But I got to tell you, in Lawrence, Kansas yesterday at 5:45 in the morning, it began to rain. My wife and I live in a split-level house, and I know the sound of it when my eave trough is overflowing. It's going to flood my basement. I heard that sound at 5:45 in the morning. I don't recommend this, but I'm going to tell you what I did. In the middle of an electrical storm, I went outside, 5:45, put my ladder up, and cleared my gutter in an electrical storm. I was praying. I was praying hard, Lord, just help me to clear this gutter. I knew that I could do that because I'm rooted in the true vine. Now, I don't recommend that for anybody. Please don't do that. But I share that story with you as well because our people, the Native American people, we really like to laugh, believe it or not. We use humor. And so what I'd like you to do right now, if you'd all bear with me, please, is I'd like you, and I say this kindly, I've had to learn your language. I'd like you to learn a couple words of mine. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, Ho Koda.
Ho Koda.
Oh, say it like you mean it. Ho Koda.
Ho Koda.
Now, I can't tell you what you all said because we're in church. But I can. You just said hello. Hello, friend. And so, we always like to greet one another. Our people. So look at each other one more time, humor me, and say, Ho Koda.
Ho Koda.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. Some other points that I want to share with you. Pastor, can you give me the sign when I'm gone too long?
When they leave.
Okay. I want to give you some more points about bread. Number one is, bread nourishes. Right? It's not fancy. It's not cake. It's not a sugar donut. But it's usually bread is simple. It satisfies. And in every culture, they have a form of bread. Every culture. I've seen some weird breads. And I imagine the first time, or if you haven't seen Bannock, you probably thought, that's some weird bread. But every culture has their own form of bread because it's simple, it nourishes, it satisfies, it eases your hunger pains. And like I said, it's a simple dish. Bread is not, well, sometimes it is. I've seen some breads back home with our Ukrainian people. They make some fancy breads. I'm talking about like breads. You shouldn't even eat it. You should just put it in the kitchen and look at it. Bannock is not like that. Bannock is simply meant to nourish, to feed. And like I said, I've got to talk about birthday cake because I like cake. Birthday cakes are for what? Or cake in general, I should say. Celebrations. Now, do you think Jesus wants to celebrate his diversity? Does Jesus celebrate his diversity? He really does. And he can bring it back to something as simple as bread. The next point I want to get to you is about bread is that bread is a gift. Jesus teaches us that it is a gift. There's not, next point I want to, I want to tell you, the hungrier we are, the better the bread, right? Because, you know, a pastor once asked some people, and I've asked people, I said, what's the favorite meal that you can remember? You know, when they begin to say, oh, this one time in New York, I was at this famous restaurant, and, you know, we had this great meal. Or for Kansas City, oh, man, we went and had us some barbecue. Barbecue. Or, man, this one time we were in Las Vegas, we had this buffet. Man, it was the best thing ever. But then there was this one man. He was a World War II veteran. And he said after a night of fighting in the trenches, the best meal he ever had was there was a lady there who was giving out cold coffee and stale bread. He made it through the night, through the battle. And imagine that, how refreshing it was for him to see this young lady there with her cold coffee and her stale bread. Because he knew the value of that gift. Do we know the value of the gift that God has given us? Or do we like those, and I, don't get me wrong, I do too, or do we like those five-star restaurants, that Kansas City barbecue? Or can we be happy with simple bread? He said, the hungrier we are and the better. The hungrier we are, I'm having a hard time with my Canadian words. The hungrier we are, the better the bread. Now I want to ask you, is anybody here hungry for Jesus? I am. I can't live a day without him. I cannot function without him. I cannot do a thing without him. I couldn't even make it to Leavenworth without him. And my wife, who's an excellent driver, I might tell you. Now, on the way here, my wife was driving and I was looking at my sermon notes, and we passed two tour buses. I don't know who they were. I don't know who the people were in there. And for one second, I thought, man, would that be cool to have a tour bus like that? Not only one, two of them. I wasn't being satisfied with the bread that God has given me. I was on our tour bus, which happens to be a silver Chrysler Town and Country fancy van. And I even had a driver. You see, and I say that to you to share with you that we as God's people, the world doesn't know it, but we are the stars. We are the running around in tour buses, sharing this good news. Anybody, any other rock stars in here today? Come on. God has the best for us. He gives us the best bread. He gives us the best wine. God, believe it or not, brothers and sisters, God is still in the business of miracles. This bread, when we receive it, changes lives. My wife and I minister at the Haskell Indian Nations University, and we come across many, many of our people, young people, coming into college, coming in broken, coming in hurting, coming in with sometimes with the clothing on their back, and what a beautiful opportunity, Patricia and I have, to offer them this bread. It isn't about Patricia and I, because when I first came to Haskell, I was so arrogant and ignorant that I thought, okay, I'm going to come to Haskell and I'm going to not even including my wife, I'm going to come to Haskell and I'm going to evangelize 1,000 Native Americans, and in 2 years I'm going home. Oops. I was sharing with the pastor, this is our 9th or 10th, correct me if I'm wrong, dear. Sorry if I was wrong, Pastor. This is our 10th year of offering that gift of the bread of life. And our brothers and sisters, our people desperately need this bread of life. There was a young man that I met. You could tell he was a leader just by looking at him. But boy, where he came from, some of us cannot even imagine. He came cautious. He came with a hard attitude. But he came hungry. He didn't even know what he was hungry for. And Patricia and I, and I'm talking about where he came from. I don't know if there's gangs in Leavenworth. I hope there isn't. But he came from that culture. He came from gang activity, doing all those things we're not supposed to be doing. And once he was fed this bread of life, life-changing. Life-changing. You can see his leadership abilities beginning to rise up within him. You can see something that sometimes you don't see in our people's eyes, hope. That's the importance of this bread that we're talking about. Bread is simple. Sometimes we want to overcomplicate things, and I'm a good Lutheran. I like to overcomplicate things sometimes too. But what I want to share with you is that this bread that we all have, that we all can distribute if we do so choose, we can do that for our neighbors. We can do that for the people we meet at Walmart, at Walgreens, at Home Depot. That's the mission field. I love that little sign that some churches have when you're leaving. When, what does that sign say? You are now entering the mission field. Brothers and sisters, our Native American people are prime for the mission. We don't have to, let me pre-qualify something. Overseas mission is very important. Very important. But the mission in our own country, in the United States of America, is wide open as well. How well do you know your neighbor? I had a neighbor for 2.5 years. We never spoke other than that mail, how you doing? That, you know, that shallow stuff. How about them Royals? One day I decided I'm going to go and talk to him. But he was kind—he was a big fellow. He was a kind of biker-looking guy. He had tattoos and all that stuff. And for a moment, believe it or not, he intimidated me. But I wanted to go and talk to him about something. I wanted to go and talk to him about this bread. One day I decided to go and talk to him, and we started talking, and within 10 minutes, he was weeping. He was hungry, and he didn't even know it. And I was able to share with him this simple bread. He began to tell me that I need to go back to church. He was raised in Georgia, and his grandmother started one of the first churches near Cherokee Reservation. All this came out simply by being willing to go and talk to him about this bread of life. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, and you know this, it's powerful. It's life-changing. And it's so good. Like that World War II veteran, the hungrier the people we're serving are, the better the bread. And I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, that our Native American brothers and sisters are hungry. We need to hear the good news. And Patricia and I are blessed enough that we're able to distribute some of our bread. We want to distribute more. Like I was talking to you a little bit earlier, there are so many families and stuff who are torn apart by conflict One of them was my very neighbor next door, and I'm a pastor, and for 2.5 years I didn't talk to him. I failed him. But brothers and sisters, God is a God of second chances. How well do you know your neighbors? Do you know what goes on inside their homes? Not that I'm saying go look in windows or anything. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is a lot of people these days are in conflict. A lot of people these days are looking for this bread. People are searching for satisfaction and meaning in life. I know I once was. Satisfaction comes from the Lord. Peace comes from God. I don't know what this sticky thing is here, but it sure is sticky. Your people have some wild inventions. But I better get back to what I'm talking about. Jesus. People are hungry. You see people slowly burning out. And it happens to pastors too. How come we're not there for them, these people who are burning out and who are struggling to say, I have some bread for you. It's not a donut, it's not a great piece of cake, it's a simple piece of bread, it's a simple bit of hope. This bread, this meal, that the only meal that really satisfied, is Jesus. Jesus came to transform the world, and some of us don't like this, but he came to transform you. Because he's a personal Jesus. We have a very personal relationship. My wife and I have a very personal relationship with Jesus. He's my friend. What I want you to do today is take a bite. Take a bite of that bread you've been offered. Love somebody. And if you have to, love yourself. Because a lot of us sometimes struggle with our own identity. But this bread makes us who we are in Him. And if we eat this bread and share this bread, we can be used every day. When we leave here today and you guys enter the mission field, offer somebody some bread. And it's weird, it's freaky. Because you know, you stand in line at Walmart or something, and what if the Lord said, hey, I want you to pay for that lady's groceries? What would you do? Do what I've done sometimes. That ain't you, Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. But Jesus will speak to us if we have our receivers on. So what I want to encourage you today is just believe in Him, turn on your receivers, and let the Lord lead. Because there is somebody out there on the mission field who is literally dying for a piece of bread. Do not let them go hungry. Feed them. And be blessed. Thank you.